Awesome. How's everybody doing? Are you alive? Come on, this is good. How many like this little setup in here? This is our wonderful Dawn set it up. There was an awesome New Year's party, and I just heard raving things, and so wonderful. And thank you, Dawn, for putting that on. You're amazing. We love you. And and Patrick led worship, and so praise God. And Bill and Andy, and so good. Thank you, team. And how about the worship this morning? Wasn't that amazing? Come on, Jesus. Why don't you turn to your neighbor and just tell him something encouraging? Maybe you haven't even talked to him today, but this is the first thing you get to say to them for 2022. Tell him something good. Come on, you guys are full of good news, good words. I like it. Thank you, Jesus. Yay, God. Come on, are you all ready? Let's pray. Jesus, thank you for today. Thank you for 2022. Amen. It is a new time. It is a new season. It is a new day. And this is the day that you have prepared for us, that you have made for us. And so, Lord, we agree with the Word of God that says we choose to rejoice in this day. Amen. We choose to rejoice in the day that you have given us. And we thank you, Father. We thank you for all that you're going to do in this new season for our country. In this new season for Church on the Mountain, in this new season, Lord, over our lives personally, over our families, we just thank you, Lord, for expansion. We thank you for growth. We thank you that you're with us, most of all. In the mighty name of Jesus, Lord, anoint this message. And thank you, Lord, for ears to hear, hearts to receive, in the mighty name of Jesus. And everybody said, amen. Amen. So good to have Abalia and her family. We love you guys. She's in Bakersfield. We miss Abalia. She's amazing. But I got a message for you today. I feel like this is important stuff. And we're going to be in Acts. You can go to Acts 21. But as you're turning there, I felt like the Lord gave me a specific scripture for the year. And I love praying, and we've done this a lot over the years as a couple and as a church, getting specific words for the new season. Remember 2020, it was the year of seeing clearly, and we're like, I don't know. But then it ended up at the end of 2020, we're like, actually, yeah, that is what it was. We are seeing clearly. But I felt really strong about 2022. The Lord gave me Proverbs 14:4. And this is what it says. It says, where there are no oxen, the stall is clean. But much increase comes by the strength of an ox. And the word of the Lord, and the word for our church, and the word for this season, and the word that I'm owning for my life personally, is increase. Yeah. Increase is the word over our church. And the thing about increase that, and why this scripture was so highlighted to me, is that increase doesn't not just happen to us. It doesn't just happen spontaneously, but it actually happens when we begin to put our hand to the plow. And we begin to get proactive with the gospel. We begin to get proactive with our faith in our prayer life. And sometimes it gets messy. You know, I think a lot of the church has a very clean, and a lot of families, a lot of individuals, we have a very clean and perfect, and everything is just very sterile. But there's no movement.
That's right.
You know, a birthing room is messy.
Yes.
My kids' rooms are messy. And then they clean it up. And then they mess it up. And then they clean it up. But it's just part of life. You know, if you have kids, your house is going to get messy from time to time. And it's this like crazy chaos, but it's beautiful chaos. And it's anointed chaos. Amen?
Yeah.
And there's something so powerful about this animal called the ox. You know, a yoke of oxen could plow an acre a day, 22 yards by 220 yards, allowing for a very rich and large crop for the farmer, for the harvester. Amen? The ox was also, if you look this up, it was also an ancient Christian symbol which signified redemption and life through sacrifice. And I just think there's something so powerful about this animal, the ox. And I feel like we have to stop acting like scared little sheep. And it's time to be the warriors that God has destined us and created us to be. And sometimes our church might look a little messy, but we are going to push in and we're going to see fruit. And I felt like as I was just praying into this, the Lord was just saying, this is what I'm doing with these things that I have attached into our church. There have been things that we have pushed into that have been uncomfortable. We, you know, several years ago, they built the lodge. It was very uncomfortable to build that, to spend money on that, to host people from all over the world. But it is fruitful. There are hundreds upon hundreds of testimonies of people's lives that have been totally changed and transformed by just staying in the lodge, getting refreshing and restoration. Amen. Our school, come on now. Our school is a blessing from the Lord, and it is hard. And it is plowing something forward. It is making a way where there was no way before. Come on. And this is what's happening with this new venture that we have planted and we have started in Bishop, where we are starting a dream center. We're starting a new campus. It's messy. It's uncomfortable. The oxen, you know, when the oxen are around, it eats all the food. And you're like, well, we don't have anything for anybody else. But there will be increase. There will be fruit.
Yes.
There will be breakthrough. You cannot see all the stuff that we've prophesied, all the stuff that Michael Dalton and all these people that have come. You can't see that if we just stay in our little bubble.
Right.
You have to begin to expand. And God's word to us is increase. Say increase.
Increase.
We need to increase our capacity. We need to increase our prayer life. Come on, you got to pray like an ox.
Yeah.
Look at your neighbor and say, pray like an ox. You got it, girl. You want to say something quick?
This is an opportunity. This is not a tough time. A tough time is when you live in Iraq and people are wanting to cut your head off. This is a fruitful land. And right now, is diminished as it looks right now because of the way inflation is and everything else, God is going to give us tools to plow this land and to be fruitful. More than we've ever been fruitful before, because I want to say what the word says. It says that we will be a city sought after, a people, a special people. A chosen people, and that the world will call us blessed. That we will be called blessed. You know why? Because everything we touch is going to prosper. And you know, that's the touching part. It's faith without works is dead. We have to touch those things. We have to get into the dirt. We got to get dirty. I'm not afraid of work, man. I came back here from Hawaii. You know why I came back? Because it's harvest time in Mammoth for me. You know what? I'm not afraid to work hard. Right now, I just pray. I break the spirit of fear over this church, over every man and every woman that wants to be an entrepreneur and wants to do something on their own and believe in God and trust Him. I speak blessing over whatever your dream is. And I declare that this is your in the name of the Lord. In the name of Jesus, you will overcome the obstacles in your life and you will go forth and you will take the land in Jesus' name.
Come on. Come on. Thank you, bro. Much increase comes by the strength of an ox. We cannot sit on our gifting and sit on our talents and sit on our money and expect to see a harvest. We have to begin to sow. We have to begin to plant. We have to begin to move things forward. Amen? And you got to begin to pray like an ox. You got to begin to have the mentality of an ox. And it might get a little messy, but we're gonna move forward. And we're going to, you know, a little chihuahua cannot pull a chariot. And many times in the church, we get so scared and we act like little chihuahuas. But this is our time to shine and this is our time to rise up with the word of the Lord and with the faith of God.
Amen.
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 Come on. Confirmation. Amen. Much increase will come with the strength of an ox. Look at your neighbor and say, you are an ox. If they're a woman, say, you're a beautiful ox. She's like, we're going to have a talk later. Hallelujah. Now, that's what I'm sensing in my spirit. And I would just encourage you to pray into that as we, you know, because it's crazy times that we're living in America. And you can either get scared and get weary and sit on everything that God's given you, or you can begin to advance. And I think this is the time to advance. It is the time. Yeah. Sure.
So I always do a word every year, and I kept thinking it was going to be increase or prosperity, and it was courageous. And I thought, what do you mean? Haven't we been doing that the last 2 years? But I really feel like he is going to increase, but we have to be courageous to get to increase, to get to it. And he's going to ask not just me, everybody, to step outside the box and do things that are uncomfortable, do things that you feel like, it's fearful, because you have to rely on him. He is going to equip you. He has already equipped us. So be courageous in your increase.
Amen. That's good. We have to be stewards of the land. I think a lot of the church, we're waiting for manna to fall from the sky. We're waiting for water to come out of the rock, but that's not how God's working right now. And he wants us to steward what he's already given us. Steward the land, steward our family, steward our marriages, steward our church. And steward the words that he's given us. And we will see the breakthrough and the increase. Amen?
Yeah.
So the word is increase and the strength of an ox. And so, but like I said, I want you to turn to Acts 21. And I think this is, it just goes right along with what I want to talk about. And I'd encourage you personally to get a word for your life and get a word for your family. And find out what that is and just stand on it. And don't allow anything to rip that off from you and remove that from your heart. But and when I think about that, I think about a man by the name of the Apostle Paul. And that's why I'm taking you to the book of Acts. How many love the Apostle Paul? And if there was ever a man that had the word of the Lord, it was the Apostle Paul. And Paul had a vision. He had a vision and he had a passion. And he knew what he was called to do. He knew who he was called to preach to and who he was called to go to. He knew what God had spoken to him. He had the word of the Lord. And when you have a word of the Lord that is so strong, I found in my life that many times the word becomes an inner compass. And you need a compass in your life to navigate through tough times and to navigate through 2020 and 2021 and even in 2022. It's just because we flip the page on the calendar doesn't mean all the problems and the pain is going to go away. We still have to be strong in the Lord. And we have to understand this thing. And so the thing that I love about Paul is through turbulent times and through crazy times, he had a compass. Say compass. And having an inner compass is the result of having inner vision, having a vision for your life, having the word of the Lord for your life, over your life. And when you have a vision and when you have the word of the Lord, nothing will stop you. Acts 21. And so I find this portion of scripture in Acts 21. And this is where Paul is feeling like he is supposed to go to Rome. You remember? And many people begin to stop him and begin to question him and question, is this really the word of the Lord, Paul? And they were saying this because they loved him. They weren't saying this because they didn't like him. They didn't like his ministry. They actually really loved what Paul was doing in the earth, and they didn't want to lose him. And so their place was coming. Their words were coming from a good place. But how many know that just because you're coming from a good place, it could still be totally wrong? Just because you love somebody doesn't mean that the word of the Lord is accurate. You can love them, and you can still be off. And this is what was happening here. These were not bad people. These were good people. The four virgin daughters who prophesied, and Agabus, and a lot of these ones that it begins to list. And it says this: Now when we heard these things, both we and those from the place pleaded with Paul not to go up to Jerusalem. Then Paul answered, What do you mean by weeping and breaking my heart? For I am ready not only to be bound, but also to die at Jerusalem for the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so there were several people that were frustrated with the direction of Paul's life and where he was going, because they knew that it meant death. And they're like, no, we need Paul a little while longer. He's so powerful. There's a grace and there's an anointing upon his life, right? They knew what could happen if this moved forward. But Paul had a vision, and Paul had the word of the Lord over his life. And so no matter what, people came and they cried, and some were crocodile tears and some were real tears. And he was not moved by any of it, because he was only moved by the word of the Lord. Amen. And Paul had a vision, if you remember, and the vision of the Lord came through his salvation experience. And Jesus spoke so very clearly to him and spoke so very clearly throughout his life on what he was supposed to do, and that he would preach to the Gentiles. Amen. And that he would be put to death. He knew his destiny. He knew his outcome. He knew where he was going. And so when other people came, it didn't fluster him. It didn't confuse him. He had the word of the Lord. Do you have the word of the Lord?
Yes.
I hope you do. You could say that Paul was consumed with the cause of Christ. And it was funny on my, let me see if I could find it, on my Facebook this morning, it popped up a post of something that I posted a decade ago. And it was just so fitting. It was a quote that I had written from William Booth. And William Booth, the founder of the Salvation Army, said this: until our passion controls us, we are not passionate. Until our passion controls us, we are not passionate. And that was the Apostle Paul. He was consumed with the word of the Lord. He was consumed with the cause of Christ. And he had this inner compass that could direct him through life, that could direct him through relationships and through church splits and through church politics and through all of this stuff, through being stranded in the middle of the ocean, being bitten by snakes, being all the stuff that happened to the Apostle Paul. He can stay steadfast. Amen. Because he knew where he was going. And I think more than ever in our world and in the life that I have lived thus far, I need this revelation. I think we're living in some biblical times. And there's a lot of crazy stuff going on right now in America, in the church. And we have to know who we are in Christ. And we have to know what God has spoken over us, or we won't make it. Come on. And so what is the vision over your life? And what is the vision over our church? What's the vision over my life? See, these guys, they begged him. They pleaded him. Even ones that he was even closer to. Some of the disciples of Jesus didn't want him to go. But he knew what he was called to do. And I think the important part about this is that if you don't know the word of the Lord over your life, this is the problem I think that a lot of charismatic and Pentecostal churches get themselves into, is that we so value the prophetic, and I value and I highly value the prophetic. But many times I think we look to man and we run to the prophets for the vision and for the word of the Lord over our life. And we, instead of taking the time and searching the scriptures and searching our own heart and spending time with the Father and getting it for ourselves. And the beautiful thing about the word of the Lord and the beautiful thing about scriptures is that when you do that, then he begins to bring prophetic people around you, and it confirms it. It confirms what God is already speaking. But I don't like when people just go from conference to conference and prophet to prophet and place to place and what's my word and what's my destiny and where am I going and what's the next step of my life. And I'm like, we aren't living in the Old Testament. We don't need to search for Samuel. The Holy Spirit will teach you and guide you. Hallelujah. And then the prophets and the prophetic people, it's just bonus. And it adds to and it strengthens what is already there to the in our core. Amen? Come on. Hallelujah. And so what's the word that the Lord spoke, or the dream that is guiding you in 2022? You need a vision. You need a word over your life. Look at your neighbor. Say, what's the dream over your life? You know Proverbs 29. This is a famous scripture. Where there is no revelation or vision, this is the people cast off restraint. But happy is he who keeps the law. Amen. The poorest person in the world is a person without a dream or a vision for their life. I wrote down in my Bible, I think this is a different translation, but it says, if people cannot see what God is doing, they begin to stumble all over themselves. And so you have to have a vision over your life. And I think this has been the problem. I think we've been on cruise control in the church for a long time, and in our families, in our businesses. We've just been on, like, things have been going well, so I'm just going to hit the cruise control button. I'm just going to do this thing. And then all of a sudden, all hell broke loose, and politics are getting crazy. Economy's getting crazy. And we can't live on cruise control, because you got to pump the brakes. Then you got to speed up a little bit. Then you got to pump the brakes. And if you're just trying to live on cruise control, you're going to crash. And we can't live like that anymore. The way that we were living, it's not going to work. 2018 living and 2019 living ain't going to work in 2022. And so we will become frustrated. And I've seen a lot of people become very frustrated because we're just trying to live like this last 2 years has never happened. And that will frustrate you to no end. Amen? But the greatest gift that I think the Lord has given us besides his son is the gift of vision. The gift not of sight, not of eyesight, but the gift of vision, where you can hear God for yourself and you can get the word of the Lord over your life. Yes. And you can begin to step into this thing and you can bring transformation and change to the world around you. Hallelujah. You know, sight is the function of the eyes, but vision is the function of your heart. Yeah. And we need vision to return once again into our church, into our Eastern Sierra region, and into our lives personally. We need vision. We just desperately need it. No matter what has been thrown at us, no matter who is the president or who's in Congress, no matter what, it does not matter. I am not looking to politics. Jesus is my Savior. If Paul can function with the worst of the worst in Rome, horrific people beheading and marching Christians to their death, and if he can function and thrive in that kind of environment, then I can thrive in this environment. I will thrive. Hallelujah. Come on, and you will thrive. Ecclesiastes. I love Ecclesiastes, and this is so, there's so much wisdom from David's son Solomon in the book of Ecclesiastes, but it says in Ecclesiastes chapter 10, chapter 3, verse 10, it says, I have seen the God-given task with which the sons of men are to be occupied. He has made everything beautiful in its time. Also, he has put eternity in their hearts. Except that no one can find out the work that God does from the beginning to the end. That's a really good word. Verse 10, I have seen the God-given task. It also says the God-given burden, the heavy responsibility, the occupation, the task, the gift. I've seen it, it says. I've seen the God-given burden, the God-given responsibility, the God-given task, the God-given occupation, that God-given thing. I've seen it, which the sons of men are to be occupied. He's seen it. Are you following me? I've seen that very thing, the gift, the occupation, the task, the thing from the Father. He has made everything beautiful in its time. So everybody comes to this earth with purpose. We're all sent to this earth with vision, with purpose, with passion. What's your purpose? Because it's in you. He doesn't just send some that are going to be world changers and some like, oh, sorry, bro. You're the runt of the litter, you know. No, we're all world changers. We can all change history, but many just do not tap into this thing. And they never find out who they are. But it's inside of each and every one of us. Everybody comes to earth with a purpose. He says, verse 11, he sets eternity in the hearts of men. Do I have any men and women in the room today? And so there's something inside of me and there's something inside of you that is being called out by the Father. Called out by eternity that he gave you from the beginning of time. There's something. Come on, are you tracking with me? The Father puts something in you. He sends you to the earth and then he says, I want that thing to come forth. I want that thing to shine and explode in the earth because it's going to be such a blessing to your family, to your spouse, to your kids, to your neighborhood. I want that thing to come, that gift of hospitality, that gift of mercy that I put in you that nobody knows about, that gift of compassion. Come on. You're like, oh, everybody has that. No, they don't. No, we're good, man. We're good. Thank you, Casey. I love you, man. You're doing your part. I'll get you a part right at the end. I love you, man. It's so good. So we have a vision. We have things that God has given us. And it is inside of us. And God is trying to pull that out. Somebody say amen. Amen. He's put a word in you. He's put a vision in you. He's put a vision in me. But the only way to tap into that and find out what it is and find out what the calling of the Lord upon your life is. What's the calling? What is this compass? Because I think many times our compass is broken. We've gone through 2020 and 2021 and it's like we're shaking it. We're like, I don't know. Am I going this way? Maybe I should go this way. I don't know. And you, I have a compass on my phone, as we all do, and it could tell you the exact direction that you're going. And this is how specific and how exact God is with our lives. But there's a way to tap into that. If we just kind of like let everything just happen and we just, oh, whatever will be, okay, sarah, sarah, right? Then you won't tap into your potential. But the way that we tap into this is through prayer. Yes. And we know we've it's been preached, it's been taught, you've read the devotionals, you know how important prayer is as a Christian. But I can't say it enough. Like, we live and we breathe and we die in prayer. In prayer and in the Word of God. We need these to live. And if you aren't feasting on the Word of God during this season, you're going to die. Yeah. And if you're not feasting and giving yourself to extended prayer, you're going to die. I'm talking spiritually, emotionally, mentally. People are checking out and dying mentally, having nervous breakdowns and putting themselves on all kinds of antidepressants and all kinds of medication. And I'm not against medication, you know, but I don't think it's right at the amount that it's happening in our country. It is just through the roof, and suicide rates are through the roof because people are breaking down mentally. And you know, the Bible says hope deferred makes the heart sick. And if you want to have a hopeful heart, a heart that is rejoicing in God, you have to begin to get into His presence again. Because in His presence, the Bible says, is fullness of joy. So I want some joy. I got the joy, 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 joy down in my heart. Somebody, down in my heart to stay. To stay. It's there and it's coming forth. I want, hey, come on. Who needs some vision today? Vision is more than just your hobby. Vision is more than just your favorite interest. It's more than what you like to do and don't do. Vision is more than just any of that. Come on. Vision persists against all odds. Vision is never selfish. Vision is the only thing that will bring you actual, real fulfillment in your life.
Yes.
And we're all created. And we all have it from the on the inside, from how when we were born. But we get to choose if we're going to walk in it. And so how do I get vision, and how do we get vision collectively as a church, and as we come into this new season where all kinds of stuff is going to happen in 2022, in the next couple of years, you know, it's just going to be a roller coaster. What do? I want to tell you what you do. You slow down.
Yes.
Say slow down. Look at your neighbor, say slow your roll.
Slow your roll.
Slow your roll. And you begin to, I think we just need to begin to get real intentional with our life again.
Mindfulness.
Pray. Worship.
Yes.
Listen.
Yes.
There's this thing called listening to God that is a lost art.
Yeah.
You know, we need to worship. You need to pray. And you can shakalala. You could just pray in tongues for a long time. And that's great. I love doing that. But there's some point we need to stop. And you need to be quiet.
Yeah.
And stop your tongue and stop your mouth and listen. Stop your mind. Listen to the Father. What's the Father saying? Because He's always speaking. Come on. I need to listen more. Men, we got to listen more. Listen to our wives more. Hallelujah. Listen. That's like the voice of the Holy Spirit. Listen to the Father. And we have to stop, slow down, listen, and study the Word. And get counsel. The Bible says that there is wisdom in a multitude of counselors.
Yes.
Yeah. And so many times, I think, throughout the body of Christ, and in America especially, you know, we want to be independent. We want to do our thing. And we don't want people to tell us anything about it. But this is not the Bible. And the Bible says that I'm going to give you people, mothers and fathers in your life. And they're going to give you wisdom. And if you will bounce things off of them, it's going to be for your benefit. And if you try to just do it by yourself, it's going to be to your detriment. Hallelujah. That's just Bible right there. And so what have I done with the vision that the Lord has given me? And what have we done? What have you done with the vision, with the word that God has given to you? And how do you get that? How do you get that vision? What do you do with that vision? You know, one other thing real quick that I think is very important to do as a culture right now. There's so much speeding up in social media. You know, it's just really sickening how everything is just going in that direction. And with what Facebook wants to do and the meta world and all this stuff, I think at some point we have to say, hey, the train stops here for me. And I'm not going to ride this thing anymore.
Yeah.
And I'm going to have my life back.
Yeah.
And I'm going to have real relationships with people and real friendships. And I think there's been so much anxiety and so much depression in our young people because they're on their phones or they're on their devices 24 hours a day. And they have all these virtual friendships that mean zilch.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so we have to get away from that and come back to authenticity. Come back to the real. See, the enemy is the counterfeit. He brings counterfeit relationships. He brings counterfeit virtual worlds. But God wants us to have the real. And the real comes when we begin to lean into the word of the Lord, begin to have authentic community, authentic relationships. You know, I'm going to bring this back. I'm going to talk about this more over the next several months again and again. But I had this word a couple years ago. And then, you know, we kind of just put it on the back burner because of the craziness of the last 22 years, right? Not 22, the last 2 years. But the word was, I was praying a couple years ago, and the Lord said, focus on the name of the church. And I said, okay, Church on the Mountain. Church on the Mountain, okay. And he said, no, a little deeper. And I said, and I'm like thinking about it, and I'm going over it in my mind, and I'm like, okay, C-O-T-M. C-O-T-M. I just kept looking at those letters, and all of a sudden, I just, these words kind of popped out in my spirit. See, community. We have to have community, or we will die. Oh, outreach. We cannot be a church that is constantly reaching in and becoming big and fat like on Goonies. I want more. I want my Rocky Road. Rocky Road. No, we have to begin to outreach. And a church that is not constantly and consistently reaching out will die. They'll die. They'll dry up. You'll die. You will not be relevant anymore. And T, training. We are a church that trains, and we are a church that equips, and we are a church that sends. Not all churches are called to do that and be that, but we are called to do that, and we are called to be that. Hallelujah. With the young ones, we have a mandate since the 70s to disciple, to train, to equip the young children so that they would be world changers. But it goes into the adults. It goes into all those in every age, in every sphere of life. Amen? We are called to train. And M, magnify the Lord. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt His name together. This is a core value of who we are as a church. And so if you don't remember anything from my message, remember these four things. That we need to be a church of community. We must be a church of outreach. We are a church that trains and equips. And we are a church that consistently and constantly magnifies the Lord through our worship, through our prayer life, through our reading of the Word, through our life. And when you do that, those four things well, I think all this that I'm talking about just kind of naturally flows and you begin to get that vision. Hallelujah. Say, slow down. Take it easy. Take it easy, Chancho. So we got to slow down, worship, listen, pray, study, have those counselors in our life, pastors, teachers, mentors, mothers, fathers in our life. And you begin to get that vision and you write it down, as it says in Habakkuk. Write it down and make it plain. Why? So that you will be able to run. Who wants to run? I want to run. We have a lot to do. We have a lot to do in our communities. We have a lot to do, and we have a lot to accomplish in our communities right now in this time. And God is asking us and requiring us to write these things down, make it plain so that you can look at this thing and remind yourself of the word of the Lord.
I just pray right now, Lord, that your spirit really fall upon any deaf hearts or ears right now, Lord. It says in Matthew chapter 13, the story of the wheat and the weeds, and it talks about, here is another story Jesus told. The kingdom of heaven is like a farmer who planted good seed in his field, but that night, as everyone slept, his enemy came and planted weeds among the wheat. When the crop began to grow and produce grain, the weeds also grew. And the farmer's servants came and told him, "Sir, the field where you planted the good seed is full of weeds." The Lord kept telling me to my spirit when I was sitting there. He said, "Tell them I'm removing the weeds." He's removing the weeds from his garden, which is this nation. He's removing the weeds from this world. And then the Lord spoke to me and he said, then read this part. Then leaving the crowds outside, Jesus went into the house. His disciples said, "Please explain the story of the weeds in the field." "All right," he said, "I, the Son of God, the Son of Man, am the farmer who plants the good seed. The field is the world, and the good seed represents the people of the kingdom." We're the people of the kingdom. This nation is a nation of the kingdom of God. It is not a nation of wickedness and ill repute, and it will no longer be. The weeds are the people who belong to the evil one. The enemy who planted the weeds among the wheat is the devil. The harvest is the end of the world, and the harvesters are the angels. I'm going to tell you right now, everybody always looks at this and they say, well, this is the rapture. It's not the rapture. It's before the rapture. The harvest is going to happen first. That's where we're going. And this nation is going to be changed so that we can do it in such a way where we're not held back anymore. We have no more of the obstructions. The evil ones are being removed even now, and you don't even know it. If you're watching CNN, CBS, ABC, NBC, any of those, they're not telling you what's going on. The weeds are being removed. Leaders of other nations that have been doing so much corruption in the world, authorities of every kind, bankers, all kinds of people are being removed so that the Lord can have the freedom he needs to bring in the harvest. It's going to happen. Watch.
Amen. Bless you, bro. Come on. That's a good word. Amen. The wheat, the weeds. He's removing the weeds. I receive that. Thank you, Lord, for vision, Write it down. I was saying Habakkuk 2, that's 2 through 4. Write the vision and make it plain that you may be able to run. Say run. Hallelujah. I think a real vision in our spirit and a real vision that comes from God is it's not about you. And anything any vision that you get when it's all about you, that's not a vision of the Lord. Any vision that I get that's all about me and my kingdom is not a God vision. A real vision and a real word of the Lord is focused on helping humanity. It's focused on building others up. It's focused on salvation, the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. And so Paul had this great compass. Patrick, you could come up one more time, bro. We're going to sing in just a second. He's right there. He sees me. Paul had this compass in his spirit. And when you have a compass, let me read one more scripture to you. How many love Patrick? He's awesome. He had a compass that guided him, and he became, listen to this, Paul became a magnet for those around him. Because when you are consumed with the cause of Christ, when you're consumed with what God has put inside of you, and not worried about the opinions of man, and not worried about politics, and not worried about corruption, and not worried about all this stuff, but you're consumed with the cause of Christ, then you become a magnet. People were drawn to Paul. They were just drawn. There was something authentic about this guy. There was something real about this guy. Maybe he was rough around the edges. I don't know. But people just continually kept getting drawn to him. He became a father to many. He poured himself out into ones like Timothy and Silas. And many just were like, there's something unique. There's something special. There's something powerful about this guy whose his life is so consumed with Jesus. I People need to be drawn to our lives. And if nobody is being drawn to you, if nobody has ever uttered these words, there's something different about you, then I would challenge you to kick it up a notch. I would challenge you to find that word again. To find that passion again. Stir up the fire again. Put another log on the fire. The Bible says where there is no wood, the fire will stop. So put a log on your heart. Put some wood on the fire of your heart, on the passion of your heart. Here, close your eyes with me. Some of you are still waiting for that word. I'm going to give you a word right now. I'm going to give you your word for 2022 if you're not resonating with my word, which that's okay because it's my word. And it's the word over the church. That's what we're doing. But there's a word. If you don't have word, I want to speak this over your life. This could be your word. And this is John 20:22. You get that? 20:22. Here's your word. And he said to them, as he breathed on them, receive the Holy Spirit. Oh, hallelujah. And when he said this, he breathed on them. Feel the breath of the Spirit. Feel the breath of the Holy Spirit. And he said to them, receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive sins of any, they are forgiven. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained. Let that be your word if you have no word. Receive more of the Holy Spirit. Receive a fresh outpouring in your heart and in your life. Receive Him today. Come on, just put your hands up in the air. Patrick's just going to sing over us. And I just want you just to receive fresh anointing, fresh understanding, fresh revelation, a fresh word over your life for this season. He's doing a new thing. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Oh, ha. Yeah, 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 yeah. Oh, ha. Yay. Thank you, God. Tearing down strongholds. Tearing down, breaking down, destroying mindsets and strongholds that have bound us in the name of Jesus. Whoa, ha ha, yay. Whoa, Father, we thank you for a new day, a new season that is in you, God. Whoa, we bless your name. We bless your name. And I just pray, speak to every heart. Speak to every heart in this church. Speak to every heart in this valley, God. Speak to every heart in Mammoth Mountain. Speak to every heart, Lord, in our families, in our hearts, God, in our children. We pray, speak to the hearts today. Speak to your people today. Oh, God, let us be a people consumed with the cause, consumed with the cause of Christ. Yeah, come on, just lift your hands and worship Him. The Lord is in this place. He's speaking to you. He's speaking to you. He's a good father. He's a good father. He's always speaking. He's always speaking. He loves to be with you as much as you love to be with him. He loves your presence as much as you love His presence. He loves to whisper. I love that God is in the whisper sometimes. Elijah says, He's not in the earthquake. He's not in the fire. He's not in the wind. He's in the still small voice. And He's in the still small voice because God's like, I only whisper to those that I'm right next to. And the Father wants you to know that He's right next to you right now. He's right next to you right now. In your tears, in your suffering, in your questions, in your anxiety, He's right next to you. He's speaking to you. Thank you, Jesus.
Let the King of my heart be the mountain where I run, the fountain I drink from. Oh, He is my song. Let the King of my heart be the shadow where I hide, the ransom for my life. Oh, He is my song. You are good, good. Oh, You are good, You're good. Oh, You are good, You're good. Oh, Lord, You are good, good. The King of my heart be the wind inside my sails, the anchor in the waves. Oh, He is my song. Let the King of my heart be the fire inside my veins, the echo of my days. Oh, He is my song. You are good, good. Oh, You are good, good. Oh, You are good, You're good. Oh, You are good, good. Never gonna let, never gonna let me down. You're never gonna let, never gonna let me down. You're never gonna let, never gonna let me down. You're never gonna let, never gonna let me down. You're never gonna let, never gonna let me down. You're never gonna let, never gonna let me down. You're never gonna let, never gonna let me down. You're never gonna let, never gonna let me down. You are good. You're good. Oh, You are good. You're good. Oh, You are good. You're good. Oh, You are good. You're good. Never gonna let me down. You're never gonna let, never gonna let me down. You're never gonna let, never gonna let me down. You're never gonna let, never gonna let me down. Never. God, forever faithful. You've been over us is love, unfailing love. You've been over us is love, unfailing love.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I love this. You read a couple chapters later in the life of Paul. And their ship totally gets destroyed in the middle of the ocean. And everybody thinks we're going to die. This is the end. This is it. And many have cried and said, this is it. This is the end of the church as we know it. This is the end of America as we know it. But there needs to be a few people that could stand in the stern of the boat, even if it's sinking, and say this as Paul did. He says this, as the boat is totally destroyed. And now I urge you to take heart, for there will be no loss of life among you, but only of this ship. For there stood by me this night an angel of the Lord, to whom I belong and to whom I serve, saying, do not be afraid. I love how when it's a real angel of the Lord that shows up in our lives, typically the response is, pee your pants. And so many times in the Gospels and in the Bible, the angel would say, hey, do not be afraid. If it's a demonic spirit, it wants you to be afraid. Do not be afraid, Paul. You must be brought before Caesar, and indeed God has granted you all those who sail with you. Therefore, take heart, men, for I believe, God, that it will be just as it was told to me. I believe if there was ever a song that was like, that Paul was singing as the boat's going down, it was this. You're never going to let me down. You're never going to let me down. And so I don't care. Maybe you just lost your job and your finances don't look as great as they once did. Maybe you've lost some clients. Maybe you've lost a best friend. Your marriage is on the rocks. You need to stand, especially in that situation, and say, oh, I serve a God of the impossible. I serve a God that speaks to me and knows me and loves me. I serve a God who will not abandon me. And so I want us to sing this chorus one more time with faith that He's with us in 2022. We're not looking for feelings. We're not looking for goosebumps. We're looking for God. And He's here. Hallelujah. He's never going to let you down. He's never going to abandon you. He's never going to leave you. Thank you, Jesus. Come on, sing this chorus with me. Prophetically sing it over your nation. Prophetically sing it over your family. Prophetically sing it over this church. Come on. Over the mountain. Come on. Oh.
never gonna let me down.
Come on.
You're never gonna let, never gonna let me down. Never gonna let me down. You're never gonna let, never gonna let me down. You're never gonna let, never gonna let me down. You're never gonna let, never gonna let me down. You're never gonna let, never gonna let me down. You're never gonna let, never gonna let me down. You are good, you're good. Oh, you are good, you're good. Oh, you are good, you're good.
And it came to pass. And they all made it to dry land, and not one of them perished. And they built to get warm, and a snake bites Paul's hand, and many on the beach thought, oh, this is the end of his life. He's a goner now. He's just been bit by a viper. Poisonous venom. There's no way he can make it through this. He's just gone through that, but he will not make it through this. Somebody has spoken. You have just gone through a tragic event, and now something else is happening. I will not make it. You will.
Never gonna let, never gonna let me down. You're never gonna let, never gonna let me down. You're never gonna let, never gonna let me down. You're never gonna let, never gonna let me down.
Oh, ha. I think on the count of three, we just need to lift up a big shout to Jesus. He's worthy. He's worthy. He's worthy. He's worthy of it all. He's worthy. Oh, he's so worthy. He's worthy. Oh, you're worthy. Oh. All right, on the count. Amen. in the name of Jesus. Some of you are like, what in the world is happening? This is awesome. I want to encourage you, every person in this room. There, I remember stepping into church, and I didn't want to lift my hands because I felt awkward and I felt uncomfortable. And that's a feeling that is normal. But at some point, I would encourage every person to press past the feeling and get into the river. Because the river, you can stand on the banks of the river and you can say, that's a beautiful river. It's really pretty. And it, I love it. You can admire it or you can get in. And when you get in, you might not know what's going to happen next. But it feels healing in the river. And there's refreshing in the river. There's joy in the river. Sometimes you just gotta get in. If you've ever floated the river, any kind of river, there is that moment where you're a little bit nervous to get in. But all of a sudden you get in and you are prepared. You have your life vest, you got your paddle, and you just begin to do the best that you can, and you paddle the best that you can. I encourage every person to live that way with the presence of God. And when you come into church, don't be afraid to lift your hands. Do something that's a little bit uncomfortable. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you for this day. Bless every person in this room. Bless every family. We thank you, Jesus. Seal this word in our hearts, God. Amen. We got one more word.
One more little thing. I just want to say that. You know what trials of life do? They make our roots go deeper and deeper and deeper. You know, all the tough things that Mike's went through, I just saw a vision. Every time he had a trial, those roots were pressing down deeper and deeper. Yeah. You know where the water's pure? Yeah. The water's pure down deep. It's down in the ground where this man right now, his roots are in the water that are so pure. When he speaks, it's pure water. It's life. It's what's bringing us to a place of completion. God wants us to be complete in every way. That's getting down in the water. That means that we got to press through those trials. I'm going to tell you something. When you get done.
Jesus, we love you.